Oh, there it is. Okay. Hey, this is the show, and it starts like this.
It does?
Yep.
Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo.
Hey, Luke.
We got Carla Ulbrich in the house.
In the house.
And Tony Goldmark.
I was not promised pie.
Of course. Nobody was promised pie. For this is episode 82 of the Funny Music Podcast.
So why are you? Why is there pie in front of me? I was not promised pie.
I don't know where you got pie, but I assure you it did not come from me. I don't like pie.
Very
Maybe
well.
Maybe some math class.
I don't know. It's both.
So, yes. I pre-recorded an interview with Tony Goldmark before. That's why it was pre. It was pre-recorded.
Who's doing what now?
What's that about Gavin?
Yeah.
So when it comes time for the Insane Ian part, did I say that right?
No, you didn't.
I meant to say Insane
Not
Ian.
At all.
I'm so distracted right now by 18,000 things going on in this room.
I'm sure you said it right in some alternate dimension.
Yes.
It's the pie distracting him.
Yes.
Some dimension where Ian is Tony and Tony is Ian.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scary thought.
They both appeared on the Me, Myself, and I Weird Al tribute album.
I'd catch a bum for you. I sound just like him, don't I? Anyway.
So, yes, earlier today I pre-recorded an interview with Insane Ian over his Skypey phony thing, which sounded much better this time around. So
all right, good.
We'll have that. Hey, Devo Spice, what have you been up to in the past week?
I had surgery the other day, which was fun.
Hey!
Yeah. So I'm still sore. I'm still recovering from that, but everything's fine.
Are you going to elaborate, or are we just going to wonder what that surgery was?
Yeah, I don't know if it's something I want to immortalize in a podcast. Yeah, Luke has given it away. Actually, put it this way, it's a sequel. This is the second time I've had this same procedure. So,
well, you are ruining America with your godlessness. Procedure, your... that's another discussion. Anyway.
Yeah, so I'm still in a little bit of pain.
Devo's a robot. Devo. Say intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic.
Intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic.
Drop!
Do I need to unplug? Am I Cylon-ing?
Yes, you are.
Oh, bastard.
Just do the whole thing. Keep saying it.
Next time you need surgery, you should go into that alternate dimension thing, let someone be you for that day, and then swap back afterwards.
I just want to suddenly bust in with, well, now, don't, you, well, anyway.
Is that better?
Are you going to put on a yellow weird suit and walk around in a bus station in slow motion with cameras following you?
Welcome to Tuesday. Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, I'm still recovering. I'm still in pain. But the other thing is, you know, that my whole God hates comedy musicians thing?
Yep.
Well, 2012 is off to a good start. I, as you know, I got laid off at the beginning of November. And sometime later in November, I interviewed with a company called Sportcraft. And they loved me. They wanted to hire me. I would just be working on their corporate website. So they couldn't hire me right away because they were in the middle of some corporate sale. They had a whole bunch of these assets that they needed to get rid of, so they were selling those off, and they couldn't change their overhead until the sale was complete, and they said it would be sometime before Christmas. So they want to offer me the job, but they can't until, you know, the sale goes through, blah, blah, blah. So I kept following up with them, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, it's coming. Well, today, I get a phone call from my recruiter, Sportcraft filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and everybody there is out of a job.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I do have one other prospect, which looks promising, but I'm just waiting to hear back from them. So, but it was just driving me nuts, because it was like a sure thing. They were going to hire me. They just needed, you know, the clearance and everything, and so. So in other news, I've been working on the Fump Volume 30. I got that just about done. I'm going to send the CD off tomorrow to the duplicators and get Volume 30 in production. And then the only other thing I've been doing is I did my first color pencil drawing in a long time. I did a drawing for Rollers for the iPhone game that I'm trying to develop. I got that artwork posted on my that art site, DeviantArt page.
Yep.
And I linked to it from it's up on the Kickstarter page, and I linked to it on my Facebook page and everything, and it came out really cool.
Is a colored pencil what you used for the cover of the Fump 22, the whole Smash Brothers Brawl parody?
No, that was Photoshop. I just did that in Photoshop with a stylus.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but speaking of the Fump Volume 30 and drawing, Luke was kind enough to show me the cover art of Fump Volume 30, and I'm not going to say anything about it. All I'm going to say is it is so awesome, I think it got me pregnant.
Yeah, it is a very cool cover.
I'm pretty sure, I'm 82% sure it got me pregnant with Jesus. So well done, Luke.
Well, you know, it is the holiday season and you are Jewish. So
indeed
it's time
I
for you to give birth to our Savior.
Yeah. Fresh start for all
yes,
these the, maggots.
The album art was Devo's idea, and then I elaborated on it to the nth degree.
I don't want to oversell it or anything, but it's better than a 60-hour orgasm.
What about a 61-hour orgasm?
Meh.
So thank you, Tony and Devo.
I'll be here all week.
So the funny thing about this drawing is that I haven't done a real color pencil drawing in a long time, and I'm you know, getting in close to my thing, and I realized I can't see that close anymore. I had to take my glasses off to get in really close with the pencil. So it sucks to get old.
Mm.
So what have you been up to, Luke?
Well, New Year's Eve was interesting because all of us, you know, our little circle of friends out here found out that Blasted Bill Putt was going to be coming to Chicago for New Year's. So we kind of suddenly Sarah and I discovered that we're going to be having a New Year's Eve party at our house. So we had a whole bunch of friends over and I had to go out and draw a caricature. So I was at the time that midnight struck, I was coloring a caricature that I was halfway through, and after midnight struck and I was, you know, doing that, I kind of stopped for a second and then went down to where I had signed Luke Skeet 2011 and wrote "and 2012" next to my signature, just because I want to make sure I'm accurate for the nice person. So this is the first time I've ever drawn a caricature over the span of 2 years. After that, you know, after things kind of petered out at about 12:15 there at Key Lime Cove, I grabbed my stuff and got back over to the house and hung out with everybody. And then there was more hanging out the day after that and the day after that. So we had a lot of fun. I'll talk more about it on Bad Report because we played this really elaborate, well, it's not too elaborate, this like fun party game that involves drawing things that people write down on cards, but nobody knows what each other is doing. So it'll take way too long to explain now, but I'll explain it on
Bad Pictionary?
No. It's like the game Telephone where you tell somebody to one person and then you tell
right
to the next person
okay
and it gets screwed up. It's like
I get the idea.
Yeah, it's like that, but every other thing, instead of talking, it's drawing. And so you get like
cool
a big chain going and it gets all discombobulated. So
I've done that game. It's really fun.
Locally, we call the game Boob Tree, because apparently over at Matt Doohan's house, that ended up being one of the drawings when they played it. So for sure,
I've definitely played that game.
So, anyway, let's move on to whatever is next.
That would be Tony.
Oh, my God.
What? Hello.
So, Tony, introduce us to your song, and then we shall play it.
All right. This song is dedicated to all the citizenry of the universe, but most especially to everyone who has ever lived in or visited Southern California.
All right, here it is, Tony Goldmark with One Damn Lane on the Funny Music Podcast.
Drums keep a drummin', he's late for the date. Motors keep a hummin', and the bastard's still late. Yeah, the groom isn't coming, but still the bride waits, because one damn lane is closed. Mr. Giovanni missed his own daughter's birth. My brother Johnny lost all sense of self-worth, and a doggy named Donnie missed his last day on Earth because one damn lane's closed. Prisoners of the 101, trapping each other's fathers and mothers, daughters and sons. Horns keep honking with no voice. Everyone's turning pro-choice. Poor little Simon missed his baseball game. Whole bunch of firemen couldn't beat the damn flame. I grew old, got Alzheimer's, and forgot my own name because one damn lane was closed. Poor little Brian missed his junior prom. Private Ryan missed his flight to Vietnam, and my friend missed the dying last words of his mom because one damn lane was closed. All those fat pigs in front of you who left their pen at 6 a.m. with nothing better to do, they're slowing down to watch the construction. Such fascinating construction. A bulldozer's digging up dirt. The same bulldozer's digging up more dirt. And the exact same bulldozer continues to dig up more dirt. And a guy dressed in orange is pointing at something. Paul, Mrs. Luddy, Mr. Job interview. My same buddy missed his mom's funeral too. Oh, such cruddy case studies, if indeed they are true. But the fact remains that one damn lane is closed. It's closed, it's getting bulldozed. And the longer I sit here, the more I'm opposed. Oh, look, it's over, and my point is moot. Now I've sobered from my rageaholic hoot. But 10 miles down the road, there's a movie shoot, and all but one damn lane is closed. Better step on the brakes. Michael Bay wants 10 more takes. Lord, why didn't I bring my garden hose? Some exhaust would smell so sweet to my nose. All these lanes I should be driving on are closed.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Yay!
I'm getting an echo. Hello.
Okay. Ah. So, yeah, awesome song.
Thank you.
We're saying in the chat room this is definitely one of your best songs.
Yeah, I agree.
Was there any event in particular that inspired this song? Like, is this one of those songs that was, like, written in traffic?
There was one particular event where I remember I was heading back from San Francisco, and I got off to a late start, and it was literally, like, 11:35 p.m. on, I think, a Tuesday night, an hour outside the city, and it turned into bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Nice.
And it turned out, after literally waiting like an hour of just rage-induced stroke comas, that we were all being pushed into one damn lane for seemingly no reason whatsoever. I couldn't see any solid... There had been no accident, no bulldozers. I couldn't tell why the fuck this was happening. I think really that was, I think I'd had the idea for the song before, but that was really the straw that broke the back of, okay, I have to write this. I have to get this. I have to make this song real. And I'd actually originally envisioned it as a rocker. I'd envision it as like this up-tempo kind of almost punk thing, like, one damn lane is closed, blah, 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 something like that. But then I realized, you know, there have been angry songs about traffic have been done. Devo, you even did one, Road Raging.
Right.
And Shoebox even managed to do a happy song about traffic somehow.
Yes.
But no one has really done a dirge about traffic. And that's what I really wanted to do. And I just realized now, listening to it again, it wasn't really intentional when we were recording it. I guess it was kind of just a subconscious thing. The song itself kind of sounds like it's stuck in traffic. Like it's like every third, like it's 3/4 time, and it's like dun 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 dun. It's like every time it's moving forward just like an inch before having to stop. You know, it's like this. It's such a great. It works so well for that song. And one thing I really enjoy about the production of the song is literally every verse and every chorus. Something new musically is introduced. Either like it switches from light drums to heavy drums, or the accordion comes in, or the accordion gets replaced by an organ, or acoustic gets replaced by electric guitar, or something like that. But it's just kind of a subtle thing, which I think really works for the song. So I'm very, very. I don't think any other song has ever come out sounding as good as that. Although one other song that's going to be on the album, I think, is a close second, and that is a song I haven't played for anyone yet. So, yeah.
So when is the new album coming out?
Sometime in 2012. You know, I've been so busy with my web series that I haven't even really had time to think about it or get it going. But the album cover is shot, And the track listing and everything is set in stone. I basically just need to get off my ass and just spend a day or two just making all the info and sending it to whoever I need to send it to. I haven't done this in a while. So, yeah, but it's a good one.
I was going to ask, were there any specific little lyrics in there that were inspired by real things or whatever? Or
you know, just that whole general sense of I'm sure if I went by lyric, I could point out some things. Well, definitely just the bulldozer and the digging up dirt. It's like because that's the thing. Everybody fucking even I complain about it and I still do it. You have to slow down just because you want some sort of satisfaction of what of you just want to know why the fuck you were kept so long.
Yeah.
But just in doing that, like I understand it, but you just feel so frustrated that other people are doing it. That whole bridge, which leads to that beautiful 3-part harmony on the word dirt. I just fucking honestly, if you could sum up what I love about certain types of music, just the fact that I did a 3-part harmony on the word dirt. I'm just as proud as that of that as I am for I Know You're a Fish or anything else I've ever done. So, but individual lyrics, I guess it's just inspired. You know, a lot of those lyrics actually came together at kind of the last minute. Like I always knew the structure of it, and I had a couple lyrics down, but it was just so frustrating trying to think of words that fit in that particular rhyme scheme I devised. So
well, it just seemed like there were so many different, you know, people's names and stuff worked in. I just kept wondering to myself, you know, how many of these, if any, were, you know, friends or family members or whatever, and you were
I'll be honest with you, most of them I just made up because they rhymed.
Ah,
very few of them are. I don't think any of them are real people. It's just a general sense of, you know, God, I could be here, but I'm being kept here just because there's so many goddamn people on this road. And every single person on the road is thinking the same thing. So I got to wonder, what are they being kept from? So
I like the line about the Private Ryan missing his flight to Vietnam. I like that one.
Which was an unintended kind of weird. Just because I needed something that rhymed with mom and something that because I knew I wanted it to end with, my friend missed the dying last words of his mom. Okay, what rhymes with dying and what rhymes with mom? Well, Vietnam and Private Ryan. Good. It's stupid and it makes no sense, but I love it.
I just like the idea that, you know, Saving Private Ryan, you know, right. He survived World War II and all his siblings were killed. Now he's being shipped to Vietnam. Great.
Yes.
And Tom Hanks makes another movie.
Yep.
So
thank God, because that guy has not made enough movies ever.
When are we going to get a sequel to Turner and Hooch? God damn it.
Every time I wake up, I make sure Tom Hanks is making another movie, right? Okay. Oh, good. Good. I can go back to sleep.
I miss old Tom Hanks. I miss, like, the pre-Philadelphia, I just make wacky-ass comedies Tom Hanks. I wish he'd come back and do another one of those.
Well, unless I'm forgetting something, the last one he really did was the Coen Brothers' Lady Killers, which I fucking love. And I a lot of people... like film snobs I know are like, the Lady Killers, the Coen Brothers have made so much better films. That's probably my favorite film of theirs, and I know I'm crazy for saying that. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed No Country for Old Men. Yeah, burn me to the stake right now.
Well, my favorite is probably still Oh Brother, but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right. So what other things are there for talking about with Tony Goldmark?
Well, I'm still doing my web series, Some Jerk with a Camera. I recently uploaded part one, because time got away from me and I was not able to upload the whole thing. But I uploaded part one of my Christmas Holidizzle Spectaculasm, in which I review It's a Small World Holiday. And the fucking holiday overlay of It's a Small World, it's taking at least two episodes, possibly three. We'll see how long the second episode winds up being and if I have to bisect that one as well. But part one is now up on Blip, and I got it. I was able to get that done by Christmas, and the rest, it just took too long because it's a way too ambitious episode. But it's shaping up to be another good one, so... look out for that. And I've also got episodes on, you know, all the ones I had since last time. And I've got a bonus video where me and a couple of my reviewer friends are hanging out outside a movie theater before a midnight screening of The Muppets. And cool. Kevin Cable is there with his Kermit puppet, and we have fun with that. So that's another cool video.
Is Kevin's Kermit puppet one of the I know they sold some recreations. Is that one of the ones that was... like available to the public, or was that one that he actually built himself?
You would have to ask him. Oh, I really have no idea. but it's cool. And there was another guy there who had a Gonzo puppet, and he sounds literally nothing like Gonzo, but damn it, he was enthusiastic. So that's another fun video I recommend. So It's a Small World Part 1. I'm currently hard at work on It's a Small World Part 2, possibly 3. And by the way,
this world isn't very small, Tony.
Nope, not anymore. I am blowing the lid off this shit. And you know, but here's the thing. At no point in any of my It's a Small World episodes do I play the song It's a Small World, because I love you people too much for that.
I'm sure all your listeners appreciate that.
I've heard good things.
Yes. All right. Well,
I've only gotten cinder blocks thrown through my window, not bricks. So,
well, let's move on to the promo and then the news, okay?
Okay.
All right.
This is the Fump.
And all the elves say,
it's fun to fly with the fat guy.
Hello, I'm the Doctor. Just the Doctor, and this is my crew. How do you do? I'm just a madman with a box, a big blue box, foxy and sexy, if you only knew. Yes, it's bigger on the inside. Ask him to
say it was haunted by a ghost. The ghost of Billy Mays. He's always shouting. Hello, hello. What up?
Get on your Tauntaunica, it's Star Wars Hanukkah. You can hang out with Qui-Gonica, I'm a Millennium Falconica, with a Wookiee.
Corn, beef, and cabbage! Corn, beef, and cabbage!
Hot, hot, in the pot. Hot, hot, in the pot. Hot, hot.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com. Funny.
Time for Funny Music News. Something, something, something.
In the news. Am I Cylon-ing?
Nope.
Nope.
Good. All right. My Kickstarter campaign is up to $1,580 with 3 days to go, about 60 hours left. So if you have any money you plan to give me, please do so soon. I got about 3 days left to raise about $3,500. So it's looking a little shaky at this point, but there's still hope. And for the people who have asked, if I don't make it, I'm not going to redo the Kickstarter campaign, but I do have a plan B. So the game will exist in some way, shape, or form. So go to Kickstarter.com, look for Rollers, or go to DevoSpice.com. You'll see it in the news. There's a link to it there. There's a link on the FUMP, and I'm constantly linking to it on Facebook and annoying the crap out of everybody, I'm sure. So that's it for that. The Funny 25 came out last week. And according to Luke Ski's annual over-analysis of the Funny 25, we have 10 FUMP tracks on the Funny 25, along with two songs by FUMP artists that were not posted to the FUMP. And songs number one and number two were both FUMP tracks, including number one, which was Snoopy the Dog by this guy right here, the great Luke Ski.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Luke.
Thanks.
Anything else you want to add to your over-analysis?
I thought I had a thought there, and then it went away.
I think the thought was bacon, Luke.
It usually is. It's you know, cool that. Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. For the FUMP started in 07, and every number one song on the Funny 25 since then has been a track that was originally posted at the FUMP. So, you know,
oh, cool.
We seem to be doing
that.
Well there. Yeah, it's that would be. Let me tell you specifically what they were. They were 2007, Cellular Degeneration by Sudden Death. 2008, Hold On, I've Got to Take This by Power Salad. 2009, Save Me Obama by Robert London, Spaff.com. 2010, Write You a Song by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. And 2011, Snoopy the Dog. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, thank you, as always, to Dr. Demento for being so supportive of us. You know, he's you know, always checking, you know, both the main feed and the sideshow feed for new songs. And he's just, you know, been super supportive since this whole thing started. So the only other thing I wanted to point out was, if you include my cameos and If I Could Be Weird Al and my beatboxing and You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot, I'm on 5 tracks on the Funny 25 this year. So I'm obnoxious is the point.
You're on a fifth of it, basically.
Actually, that was Steve Goody last year. He had 5 songs in the Funny 25.
Yeah.
That was fully his with writing and performing and stuff. So,
right.
Yeah. And I just like the fact that this reinforces the fact that Elevator was the best track on Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 1. Because it was.
I love that track, by the way.
When I was reading the script the first time, I was sitting at my computer crying, laughing at how funny that script was. I'm like, I can't wait to record this thing. So, and yeah, we should also point out that DJ Particle did the Mad Music Dementia Top 20, Top 100 countdown, and the FUMP was all over that as well. So go to madmusic.com and search that out. and then I believe our friend Anthony Legato of A-Log on the Airwaves did his own Top 40 list as well. So, I mean,
yeah, I had a couple of songs on that one.
Yeah, so... and that can also be found at madmusic.com. So go check those out, too. They are awesome.
Okay, tour dates. The only tour date coming up is me. I'm going to be at Aresia from January 13th to 15th in Boston, Massachusetts. So go to, I think it's aresia.org for information about that.
So,
all right.
So now comes the part where we make Carla wait even longer while we play a 15-minute interview with Insane Ian. Unless we want to interview her first, what do you guys think?
Carla, do you need to be anywhere?
Nope, I peed before we started.
Okay,
all right. Well then, here he is. Well, actually, here's the song, and then you'll hear the interview. Mr. Insane Ian, with "Hey Birthday Boy." Woo,
woo.
Celebrate your birthday, even if you don't. Be glad you're getting older, cause when you're dead you won't. So happy, happy birthday from everyone you know. And now we light the candles and birthday for you. Blow,
Hey, we're here with Insane Ian.
Aren't we now? Yay. Yes.
So, Ian, I understand that you recorded a song, and we just heard it right now, and that I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I understand that that's a pleasant thing to share with everyone.
Yes.
And all of those are things are true.
So, I know that there's a backstory to the history of the Hey Birthday Boy song, so why don't you tell everybody about it, assuming they haven't heard about it?
Well, Spaff had written a new birthday song, seeing as the traditional one was so traditional, and had written one for Robert Lund's birthday, and then never had it recorded. And then decided to make a CD of the birthday song, recorded by many of your favorite and my favorite dementia artists. About 3 years ago, when I first started getting back into this scene, I recorded 4 different versions of it. One of those versions is what I just posted on the FUMP, the other remaining 3 from that session, and then a duo version that I did with Austin around that time also, which got posted on the Sideshow back then, will also be all on the Grand Theft Audio collection coming out, but also will be eventually on a CD full of all of these versions, plus versions from other artists like Devo Spice and many other people. I last thing I saw on there, he's still waiting for a version from you, but eventually that CD will come out, Spaff keeps assuring us.
So Spaff is waiting on a version from me for the CD to come out.
Well, not just you. He's waiting for a version from you, from Shoebox, from a couple people. I don't know if that's exactly why it's still waiting to come out. But
he's
tons of versions of it, but he's still waiting for other people, and he said it will come out eventually. It's just he's still culling things. And I actually technically need to resend him the things that I sent him before, because I've slightly altered them for Grand Theft Audio. The version of Hey Birthday Boy that we have on the FUMP right now, I only changed the lyrics slightly, and we kept the exact same music. So in the 4 different versions I recorded Hey Birthday Boy, Hey Birthday Girl, and 2 other genders that I will not reveal on here. You'll have to get Grand Theft Audio to find out what other genders I threw in there other than boy and girl. But the music was exactly the same, and I thought that seemed too stale, too stagnant for a song that you're going to hear 4 times on the CD. So each successive version of it on Grand Theft Audio, we've added more instrumentation. With Hey Birthday Boy, it's just acoustic. Hey Birthday Girl, we add bass. The next version, we add drums, and it kind of builds with each version. So
cool. Because, I had just kind of come to the conclusion on my own that I probably just missed the boat on it and completely forgot that I was supposed to do one. So if Spaff is waiting for me to and others to get one to him, maybe he should, ping everybody and say, hey, this is still happening, and then we can get to work versions.
He had mentioned a couple, maybe about a year ago, that he was still in the process. The last time the website was updated, where the lyrics are, which is what I have in the link and the lyrics on the FUMP, It still lists, Waiting For You and Shoebox and a couple other people, but for the most part, it's... I don't think it's particularly waiting on that. My dog is barking.
Shut up, dog.
Shut up, Parker. And my wife is yelling at him. It's... I don't think he's, That was from the last update that he sent, so...
By the way, tell your wife that she's awesome.
Stacey Lukeski says you're awesome.
What did I do this time?
She says, what did I do this time? Well, I think it's because you helped him get number 1 on Dr. Demento.
I did?
Yeah, because you're totally on that song.
Oh, that's right. That's the whole reason.
I don't know if you caught that.
Yes, I heard that, yes.
Yay.
She also sang and did awesome video stuff for Our Love Song that was super epic.
Oh, he really loves the stuff that you did on the video for Our Love Song. She just rolled her eyes and went, oh.
So
she doesn't like being on video too much.
That's a shame, damn it.
That's what I said. We're going to have at least 2 more music videos with her on Grand Theft Audio, whether she likes it or not.
Speaking of videos for Grand Theft Audio, I'm submitting 2 to you. That.
Yes, you are. 2 epic puppet videos that make me happy.
So how happy were you when you saw that?
Dude, I can't even explain. That was so great. Like, I was sitting there watching this, and deep down in the back of my brain, I was like, oh, I had a short song. He didn't say anything to me about it, so I wonder if I... Oh my god, there I am! Me and my puppet buggy eyes. Good lord. And what's really great, what I really love about that, that's exactly how I perform that song. Just kind of stand there. See, all right, done, next.
See, I was thinking back to the old school, like, there's a lot of Sesame Street videos where you just see the puppets in this, you know, blank background, you know, environment where that's like really spacious so that the puppets can, like, walk really far away and still be seen on camera from that same vantage point. So
yes.
I'm like, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to, you know, just like, you know, Manamana, I want to have your puppet, like, run in from the back and, you know, do your line, stand there for a minute, and then turn around and walk away again.
It's so genius. Stacy laughed so hard when she saw it. So I wholeheartedly approve and am excited to include it amongst the videos on Grand Theft Audio.
Yeah, I need to get those over to you, so I will
do
that.
Yes, please. Not that I can do anything with them currently with my computer being kaput, Nick, but...
Yes, just let me know when you need them.
And I do have to say one thing, man. I wish I had a song as epic as the Flat 29 song so that I could get an epic puppet video for that. Holy shit, dude.
Well,
God,
I
damn.
I made
there's production quality there that I didn't know existed.
And here's the thing. I know that there's a lot more video effects I could teach myself how through tutorials or go to school and get lessons. I just don't really have the time or the money for that. So I'm basically doing Rob Schraub-style drawless animation techniques to be like, okay, how can I get this shot? Well, I could build a wall with a door in it and have it go through. Okay, let's do that. You know, so...
That's just so great, dude. It's epic.
So, thank you. And basically, when I was making my master list of potential songs, first of all, your two, Short Song and Shorter, those two were, like, at the top of the list. I'm like, okay, those are going in for sure. And then, I kind of made this, you know, page-long list of songs I could potentially include in the future, and I think my format's going to be, like, the first, you know, three or whatever that are in there will be relatively basic, but then the fourth one will be the one where I go a little more complex with it. So, you know, I have more ideas in the future.
The Paul and Storm video with the post that's Paul and Storm Street in the Sesame Street style, and it's like a Sesame Street song. My God.
Cool. It's like, well, they're counting, you know? They're teaching the kids how to count.
It's like Avenue Q smashed into Dementia Central.
Yes, that's what I would very much like to have more of those things.
I agree with all the words that just came out of your mouth.
Accidentally. So let's get back to talking about you, because in theory, this is an interview about you.
Oh, my God. How did I not talk about me? I love doing that.
What else about you do you want to talk about right now?
Well, I just turned 33.
Yay! Woo!
Yay!
You continue.
That's really the reason I posted that song. I was going to have a different song set in that spot. But we didn't get the music done for it in time, and with my computer down currently, I'm really hoping I can make the next funk date I have. But for the most part, trying to get that done for later in this month, so you'll be hearing from my dumbass again on the Funkcast. But I had this one, and I was like, well, here's a track from Grand Theft Audio I haven't released yet. I'm trying to keep some of the tracks on it still kind of unreleased, even though it is essentially a B-sides collection. I figured I'd post that, and it was timely enough, and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, the beginning of the year is the beginning of my birthday, so damn it, I wanted to start the year off with me.
I completely understand that notion. So, and there will be more from Scooter Picnic.
There will be more from Scooter Picnic. Kyle came to me. In a dream. No, he gave me a phone call while I was at rehearsal for the play that I'm in right now, and he mentioned a song idea that he had based on something that happened on an episode of Bad Rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
shot the idea to me, and it's going to be something that we're not going to do for the FOM. It's going to be something separate than February album writing month, so it's going to be a separate Scooter Picnic track, and I was very excited about this.
I'm very excited about it, too.
You should be. Do you know of which I speak?
Yes.
Oh, then good, be excited. And we shall keep everyone in mystery by being cryptic. So he and I have a list of things that we're doing for February album writing month. Each of us have songs that we're like going to pull together and basically punch out in 2 days. But then we have like other bigger things that we're in the works of too. For the most part, it does seem that Scooter Picnic is going to be this kind of side nerdcore-y thing that we're doing. So
I enjoy things like that.
As do I. I'm so happy to be part of one.
So without getting too long of a conversation here, because I want to wrap this up soon, any new video games that you really like?
Oddly enough, I've been playing old video games.
Ah.
I have a stack of games in my backlog that I haven't been able to finish or get to because there's so many things coming out. Of course, Skyrim is in that pile, and I've been playing Skyrim, and it's fantastic. And there are already two great Dementia songs about Skyrim. John Mapes of Possible Oscar has Christmas Time in Skyrim. And My Baby Left Me for Skyrim, which is Caputo the Python featuring Schaefer the Dark Lord. Both of which are on SoundCloud and SoundClick or whatever. Both of those are great songs. I have a Skyrim song, too, that's coming out that I'm doing just for a music video that was suggested by you, sir!
Oh, really?
Everybody, when this comes out, you all know who to blame. Blame Luke Steve for this existing. With any luck, when I get my computer up and running, it should be out soon. I was actually contacting Bethesda Softworks, the makers of Skyrim, to see if I can get some props from them, because I do video game reviews, they can send me stuff. And also, they're local to me. So, with any luck, we'll see how that goes.
Cool.
I'm playing that. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption again. Ah, video games! That.
Yes.
So, yes.
I just got a new Super Mario Brothers Wii for Christmas, and I haven't broken it out yet, but I intend to, so.
If you want to keep, if you want to stay married, do not play that multiplayer. That game is a marriage killer. Here's the thing about Super Mario Brothers that me and my wife discovered. New Super Mario Brothers. It's four-player co-op at the same time. Now, Super Mario Brothers is a game about, running along and jumping and grabbing power-ups and getting through to the end of the level and jumping on Goombas and yay, hooray stuff. However, lots of levels. Very precision jumping is necessary for landing on ledges and killing items and things. If you have another player playing at the same time and you guys are trying to get to this end of the same goal, you're jumping in front of each other. You're jumping on each other. You're knocking each other out of the way. So some person's going to land on somebody's head and knock the other person into a pit and get punched in the testicles.
Here we go!
Exactly. Here we go, Nads! It's not good. So, but another thing about it is, if a person is playing badly, you can pick their character up and carry them through the level. My wife hates when I do that. So.
Sweet.
Yes, so it is a marriage killer. I told this to Shoebox when he got the game. I tell it to you, sir. It's a fantastic game otherwise, but yes, marriage killer.
Yeah.
So, well, beware.
Yes. Anything else you want to plug real quick?
If you're in the Baltimore, Maryland area, I'll be in the Iceman Cometh at Fells Point Corner Theater beginning January 13th and running until February 12th. It is a non-musical, and yet somehow I have a singing role. I don't understand that. It is also the first time in 20 years that I have appeared on stage with my father. When I was 13 years old, my father and I were in a show in New York together, technically off-Broadway, but we were down the street from Phantoms, so I called it Broadway. But it's the first time since then, in 20 years, that I've been on stage with my father. Beyond that, Wizard is out and doing very well on Bandcamp, insanian.bandcamp.com, and we're still taking pre-orders on Grand Theft Audio, which I should have a full track list and pre-order stuff, other new pre-order stuff, available on Bandcamp as well. So, giggity. Damn it.
Word. Well, thank you for being on the Fumpcast, Ian, and good luck getting your computers running and stuff, and we hope to hear more from you soon.
Yes, things and stuff. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yay. Happy New Year.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Dementia Radio. Ridiculous!
DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback!
Feedback! You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback! Feedback!
Feedback! Feedback!
Feedback!
Feedback!
You're a Cylon!
Am I Cylon?
Yes.
God damn it!
I like my sugar with coffee and cream. By the way, that Ian Bond, that insane Ian interview was so realistic. It was like he was right here.
It was done through the power of Tron technology.
I mean, arguably, it wasn't absolutely necessary to make animatronics of insane Ian and mail him to all our houses to have him lip sync the interview, but I appreciate it.
And they made a movie based on it called Flight of the Navigator.
Indeed they did.
I'm not making
Indeed they did.
Devo, are you back?
I don't think so.
Oh, good Lord. It says, there's a problem with his call. Hold on while we try to get the call back. Well, maybe I'll just read feedback.
Okay, I'm commandeering this show. Let's do the feedback.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Looney Bin Next Generation. No.
Okay, here's email from Eclectic Lee. Fumpers, Carrie Dalby did indeed, in her own words, fuck things up for the year-end countdown. She was not a contingency I had planned on, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen to the podcast live and send an update to Devo, for which I apologize. Because, you know, your life should be all about listening to this podcast live and giving us continuously updated numbers, Eclectic Lee.
I like cookies.
Yes, you do. Therefore, here is the actual top 10 countdown for 2011. Number 10, everyone who did not appear on the Fumpcast in 2011. We are the approximately 99.9993%. Number 9, everyone who appeared on the podcast once. And then he gives a huge list of people that I'm not going to read. Number 8, everyone who appeared twice, which includes Adam English, Auden Eichelman. I got to start pronouncing Eschleman. That's how you pronounce that. Eschleman.
Eschleman.
Because it's like M.C. Escher. Eschleman. Austin Eschleman, Kobe LaCroix, Lindsay Smith, Rand Balavia, Sea Monkey, and Tony Goldmark. Number 7 is Brendan Shearis, Dan of Flat29, Shoebox, and Spaff. Number 6 is Dino Mike and Robert Lund. Number 5, Jesse Smith. Number 4, Tide, Carrie Dalby.
Should I give a Paul Schaefer drum roll while you're saying this?
If you want to. Do you have a Paul Schaefer drum handy?
No.
Carrie Dalby and Steve Goody tied for number 4. Number 3, Jace McClain. Number 2, Insane Ian. And number 1, a tile between Chris Mazzalesa and TV's Kyle.
Woo! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Whatever.
No, I gotta try to... Hold on a second. Let me see if I can add Devo to the conference again.
Okay, what's... happening with Devo?
Let's see. 4. Okay, and then Lee continues. For anyone curious about the 2010 standing, since I don't think to do it then, here are the top 3 of 2010. Insane Ian and Steve Goody were tied for number 1 that year, followed by TV's Kyle at number 2, then Christmas of Lesta, Jace McClain, and Jesse Smith were tied for number 3. Going back to the all-time count, as of last week, Insane Ian is once again tied with TV's Kyle for number 1, so he's probably pulling ahead this week if he found a usable Skype connection. As always, you can get more complete updates on the Fumpcast guest standings by following Eclectic Lee S on Twitter. That's Eclectic Lee S on Twitter. In other useless trivia, episode number 80 from December 22nd was the first time Devo and Luke have interviewed each other for 2 separate songs in the same episode. In other words, the first time they've interviewed each other about something other than a Cirque du Soleil sketch. Good grief, I need to get a life. Yeah, that's kind of a Fumpcast version of a 69, I think.
That's a very recursive episode.
That's disturbing.
Oh, Devo's back.
Stay funny.
I am back.
Eclectically sites. So there you have it, Devo.
I was halfway through stealing your identity, and then you had to come back.
I'd do that.
So, Diva, why don't you read the next comment, since it has to do with you?
It does. I'm not sure whether it's Onib or Onib. It's O-N-I-B. Anyway, he wrote, if Devo Spice ever did an 11-song Doctor Who tribute album, I would pre-order that bad boy so fast it really would break the laws of time and space. If you ever did such a thing, you should be sure to throw in a bonus track for Peter Cushing, better known as Grand Moff Tarkin from Star Wars, who played Doctor in
the two Doctor Who movies that were made in the 60s, even though they're very uncanon, such as the fact that the Doctor is a human from the future whose last name is Who. Hello, my name is Doctor Who, and this is my granddaughter, Susan Who.
Chaz and AWOL, that's our scene!
Now he's
gone. Yeah, I've seen those 60s movies. They're not very good.
Yes.
Well, I don't think we should tell him this time.
Let's not tell him.
No.
That was, for the first time ever, we've heard a sad Dalek. That was the best sigh coming from a Dalek. What's
get my
matter?
Job back as I'm upgrading my internet connection. This is ridiculous.
Okay, you sound better now.
The sad Dalek is my favorite Kama Sutra position.
And on that note, it's time for Carla Ulbrich.
What?
What? I was just looking up Dalek. Yes. You know what it made me think of? Everything's better with a Dalek of Daisy. Don't you remember that butter commercial?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hey, well, what's up, guys?
So introduce your song, and then we'll play it, and then we'll talk to you about it.
This is the first funny song of mine that I ever recorded. I wrote this in 1996, and this recording is from 1998. My first CD came out in 1999, and I actually recorded the entire CD three times, the whole thing.
Wow.
I recorded it. I had this idea that I wanted to do a really old-fashioned recording where everybody's around the mics, and you know, everybody's playing at the same time, just into one mic, but nobody would do it. So I tried to do it their way with the headphones, and you record alone, and then the bass player comes in alone, and then the, you know, next person comes in alone, and it was just, I hated it. So you know how I am, technophobe. I'm just not into technical stuff. I wanted to just one microphone, everybody play their instruments all at the same time, old school. And I was going to brag about getting a smartphone, and then you guys are like, oh, I'm building a video game. Oh, I invented all these techniques. I'm building a spaceship. I got a Dalek. I'm like, okay. Never mind. But anyway, this was my second attempt at the album I did up in Nashville. And it sounded pretty good, but it wasn't really me. Well, it sounded really good. It was great, but it wasn't really exactly what I was going for. I wanted something a little more, sounded a little closer to what I sound like live. So anyway, that's what I wound up with this track. It is a true story, but there is one very big lie about this song. The show was not actually Love Connection.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, people can...
The show was called Matchmaker.
Ah.
But the show was only on for 1 year, so nobody's heard of it. And it was this weird show where the host would come out and he'd have... three guys and three girls, and he would come out blindfolded and then ask them questions without being able to see them and match them up based on their answers. See, none of you guys have heard of the show, right?
No.
That's why the song is not called Matchmaker.
I've never heard of television.
Oh, well, great. You're my demographic.
Yes.
All right, well, let's play the song, and then we'll ask you some more questions about it. Here it is, Love Connection Jazz Version by Carla Ulbrich.
To women, you can ask him yourself. Little black books piling up on the shelf, long cool hair and a bad attitude. Absolutely sure he was one hot dude. I was a little put off by our first meeting and our second and third with your frosty greeting, but I was rewarded for all this rejection when I saw you get dumped on the Love Connection. Yeah. feeling down in the dumps. What I saw next pulled me out of my slump. There they were, three women, three men. Couldn't believe my eyes when I saw you among them. Competing for the prize, a red hot date, and fame among people who stay up real late. Well, you stood real cocky and you flipped your hair. Waited for your chance to be put on the air. You answered your questions and you thought you impressed. All the host had to say was, next. I was a little put off by our first meeting and our second and third with your frosty greeting. But I was rewarded for all this rejection when I saw you get dumped on a love connection. Yeah.
It's Match Game.
Match Game. That show was so hot. How hot was it?
Tom Reed in the chat room wants to know if that was you on guitar on that song.
No, that's why I didn't put that track out. I was like, hey, I should have played guitar. That was the thing in Nashville. They didn't want me to play. You're like, you're the singer. You can't play guitar. I'm like, but it's my album. So... there are only other two completed tracks from the Nashville sessions that got mixed down, and those are on Leftovers. That's the Boy Wonder Wall of Sound version and the twangy version of What If Your Girlfriend Was Gone with all the electric guitars. But yeah, I abandoned that, even though it sounded really great. The guys are really, really talented. I wanted to have more, you know, of me actually playing the guitar and have it sound a little more organic, because I don't have all that stuff going on when I play live.
So that was your very first funny song?
Yes, it was. Stuff that I would just make up when I was, you know,
right.
I wrote goofy stuff about my roommates and my teachers and all that. I didn't keep any of those.
Was this a song that got you hooked on doing funny songs? Or
yes, it is, actually. And you wouldn't believe the person who convinced me to write this song. It was just, I used to tell this story all the time because I just thought it was so funny. I'm like, did you ever think that you would see somebody you knew who you actually went out with a couple times and they were a total jerk. And then you get to see somebody get the best of them on a dating show, you know, just pretty strange odds. that I'd be tuned in when that would happen, because I only had two channels in the first place. This obscure TV show that only lasted 1 year. So I just told that story all the time, and I was sitting there regaling Preston Reed with this story, and a really hot guitar player. He's an acoustic guy that basically is the predecessor to Khaki King, does a percussive guitar playing. And I was telling him that story, and he's like, you should write a song about that. And it just never occurred to me at that point to take all the stories that I like regaling people with and turn them into songs. And after that, you couldn't stop me. I was like an earnest songwriter. For my first 30 songs were all os, as they say in Filk, you know, os, os, and moros. All those depressing songs about broken relationships. And
yes.
And my friends, you know, they try to come support me, but they really couldn't take it anymore. So they'd ask me to write something upbeat. So I wrote something like this, which is an upbeat song about a bad relationship. An upbeat funny song about a bad relationship. And they didn't mind that too much. They hadn't caught on yet that I didn't really change the topic. But you know, that's it.
You know, back in the mid-90s, I kept telling the story about a goldfish in my toilet that turned into a person, and then Steve Cropper told me to make that into a song, and look what happened.
See? Yeah. Good stuff. Your audience tells you what business you're in. That's what, indeed, that's what they say.
Indeed they do.
Did you get 10 years behind bars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just got out yesterday. All this has been a lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. I hate to tell the truth here on the podcast, but it was not Love Connection. It was Matchmaker. But have you ever tried to rhyme Matchmaker?
Not outside of Fiddler on the Roof, no.
And then, he didn't rhyme it.
They didn't even rhyme it in there either.
No. He rhymed match, but not matchmaker.
Well,
so
give me time, I could do it.
Private Ryan actually got sent to Korea, but Vietnam rhymed. So,
see, there you go, artistic license.
There you go.
It's about the truth with the capital T, not the. It's the emotional truth. But the real inspiration for this, all none of this would have happened if I hadn't been majoring in classical guitar and living in one of those modern apartments with the thin walls where you can hear, I could literally hear my neighbors peeing. I'd be like, dude, I think you need a prostate exam. It's not sounding too good over there. You could hear everything. And people were complaining about my guitar playing, even though it's wonderful. So I had to turn on the TV and then play a little bit quieter than the TV. And that's what I was doing when that show came on. And I was like, oh my God, Derek, holy crap. Yeah, true fact.
That's awesome.
Holy crap should be the official slogan of people named Derek. Like,
oh, it was Derek, but Eric can have it.
Oh, okay.
So why wasn't this released
anywhere
before?
Eric Fulman
would
love to have that as a tagline.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So why didn't you release this anywhere before?
What?
Why didn't you release this anywhere before? Or did you just lose the recording?
I lost it. Yeah, I didn't even know that we ever finished it. I forgot. I have a really bad memory. It's basically like someone passes a magnet over my head every night. And I didn't know it existed. And Joe, my husband, was down in the basement clearing out his cassettes and putting things that he wanted to keep onto, I don't know, MP3 or something, CDs. I have no idea. And he found this. I guess I sent it to him while I was... he found it on a cassette. So believe it or not, that was ripped from a cassette.
That sounds great.
I know. It doesn't have any of that you would expect from a 12-year-old cassette. I was impressed. I guess I could lay some of that over it. One of you guys could. One of you high-tech guys.
I could sample the sound from the old Sudden Death tapes, because some of the early songs, it's not just hiss, it's hum, because I overdubbed it so much. There's literally a... in the background of some of these songs.
And you digitally added the pops and skips and fuzz from an old 78 RPM. And
right.
Nice. Yeah, the skips. When I saw you get dumped, that would be great.
That's great. And add feedback from the Edison cylinder, just every outmoded technology.
Oh, then you need a CD
schmutz
thing too. The way the CD skips totally different.
Oh, yeah. Just combine them all into one big mega mix.
Oh, that would sound great. Let me go get the Advil.
And then release it on 8-track.
Exactly.
And I'll play it in a 2XL. Devo, do you remember what a 2XL is?
No.
Somebody will.
And then crucify an iPod while you listen to it.
So how's the book doing?
Book's doing really good. I spent a lot of time last year doing promotion. I was very surprised to find out. I don't know why I was surprised. I've been a musician all this time. How it's not your energy is only, well, it's your work has only just begun when you finish writing the book. Right. And that all the amount of marketing that you have to do to make it launch. It was so depressing to find out that only a third of books with an ISBN number, you know, that barcode on the back, only a third of books with ISBN numbers sell more than 100 copies. Isn't that depressing?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, fortunately, mine's done way better than that, but it's because of all the work that we put in. So I had a PR team for a while, and they got me some good stuff, but it was a lot of work. So.
Well, if Americans read books, then all the TV makers would be out of business. So.
We can't have that.
No. All the people who make matchmakers on the street.
Have you done an audiobook version of it?
I haven't. I had a few people say that I should, but that never materialized. I won't say we won't do it, but the book, you know, maybe in the future, who knows, but we're not talking about it at the moment. Well, you and I are talking about it at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good idea, actually, especially since you could look in some of your songs. Well,
Devo, did you run over a gypsy? Because
no.
Well,
what do gypsies have to do with being a Cylon Dalek?
He's cursed. He ran over a Dalek gypsy.
Oh. The Dalek curse would be a good title for a Doctor Who episode.
Yes.
Or the cursing Dalek. I'd watch that.
Go fuck yourselves.
Bleep, bleep.
Andrew Dice Clay in the role of a lifetime.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet. What's in the bowl, bitch? Oh,
oh, oh.
So, Carla, what else do you have to talk about and promote and stuff?
Well, I'm doing a little bit lighter schedule this year so I can do more writing, but I do have a radio spot, I believe it's internet radio, on a January 17th on a program in the morning that's going to be a good trick for me, called Rich and Gluten-Free, and we're going to be talking about eating gluten-free. And what I mean by that is food without gluten, not glutinous food that doesn't cost anything. And then I got a book event later this month in Connecticut in a library. And that is, I got a light schedule because I'm trying to write some new stuff. And last year I was spread in way too many directions. So, oh, I'm also want to learn to cook. That's big high on my list. Can only eat so much hummus. Even I. Hey, you want to hear my really cool thing that I learned on how to find the perfect avocado?
How?
Yes.
For years, I have been, ever since I left Florida, that used to be easy when I lived in Florida, just pluck one off the tree, bam, eat it, it was great. But now I live in New Jersey, and the avocados, everyone I buy is either, you cut it open and it's totally hard, and if you eat it, you get a stomach ache, or you cut it open and it's all brown and disgusting, and I haven't actually eaten one of the brown and disgusting ones, I just throw them away. But I imagine I would get a stomach ache for that too. So here's a great trick. Buy two avocados while they're still very hard. Put them in a paper bag with a green banana and wait 2 days, and then they're perfect.
Wow. What happens to the banana?
The banana, you can either eat it or give it to someone else to eat. Or the banana's ripe, too. Everything's ripe.
Okay.
But the banana gives off these gases that help the avocado ripen perfectly.
For some reason, I thought you were like sacrificing a banana to the avocado gods or something.
I learned a great cocktail to make with a banana. Could do that. It's called
Luke,
a dirty
why
banana.
Is your voice so high all of a sudden?
Yeah. Wait.
Hi, Carla. It's Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
I bought your book for my mom for Christmas, and she is enjoying it. So, thought you might like to know.
I appreciate that. I hope she likes it.
And if you'd like to see Sarah in puppet form beat the snot out of me, just go to my YouTube page, Carla. Because you really enjoyed seeing the puppets when they made their surprise appearance at Con and the Cob there.
They were awesome. Those are really good puppets.
So yeah, just go to YouTube. My user handle is The Great Luke Ski, all as one word there, and you can see the Bad Rapport video episode number 2, and you'll hopefully get a kick out of that.
Cool.
So, all right, let's move on to the next part of the show.
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
So Devo, tease something.
Tomorrow's song is by Lemon Demon.
Woo!
That's all we can tease. Tuesdays ain't posted yet.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So if Insane Ian were here, he'd probably be plugging InsaneIan.com, which is his website. Tony, plug things for you for people to find you at.
I have no official website, unfortunately. I'm still working on that, but I am on Twitter. You can follow me at @TonyGoldmark. And my web series can be found at somejerkwithacamera.blip.tv. The latest episode is It's a Small World Holiday Part 1. I am still working on It's a Small World Holiday Part 2, but it will drop hopefully within a week or so. And, yeah.
Cool. And Carla...
End of transmission.
Carla, plug your website and whatever else you feel like plugging.
I am at CarlaU.com, CarlaU.com. And my book is called How Can You Not Laugh at a Time Like This? It's a collection of humorous essays about surviving catastrophic illness and even worse, the healthcare system. And it's on Amazon.com. And you can also find all the other links on CarlaU.com to all the places you can buy it.
Cool. Oh, and just FYI, Devo, the person posting the song for Tuesday, I know they have the song finished. They're just waiting on like a final mix or something. So,
oh yeah, I don't doubt that it'll be up. But
so, yeah. All right,
and I don't have written down who it is. If you want to say who it is, go ahead. But I won't remember.
I'll just leave it a surprise.
Okay.
It's Van Halen.
Humbly bebbly zibbly bibbly, humbly bebbly zibbly bop.
Bop?
That's not Van Halen, that's Dave.
Well, Dave's better. I'm Luke.
Yeah.
And then they're people.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org. And join us in the chat. Or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week, where you'll hear Luke Ski say...
Tin Roof! Rusted!